Good morning, everyone. Nice to be with you. We're soon going to come to a time when people will be thinking about peace and goodwill. And of course, when we think about that and look at the reality in the world, is that the case? Is there peace now in the world? And what I want to do is think about what is peace and just show you some images that might help us to think about it. And I'd like to go back, as you will all remember this, 2001, and the Twin Towers there. And to me, that was the start, really, of the main time when things were going seriously wrong and the terrorists were attacking buildings and people. Nearly 3,000 people died at this time. And it thinks then of these places, and there are places where there are war zones, and we think, you know, well, is there really peace? And when we think, and I think, we sometimes say, don't we, a picture paints a thousand words. And there you see the fear in the children's eyes as that soldier's there, but what he's there to do is to protect them, really. But, you know, the fear is there for them at this time, of the time it was taken. And we see wars that are going on still in the world. And there's seven current conflict zones in the world today as we know them. A few in Africa, in Asia, Europe, there's still some there. And when we think of these things, there is a picture of in Syria. And people there are queuing up for food because the devastation that's taken place with the regime that supposedly is saying it's not trouble, but it's peace, and of course it isn't. And then we see people. It's frightening sometimes, isn't it? Here's a man in a nice suit with a red tie on. And he can sometimes talk a lot of... No, I'm not sorry. But he's a person, we're not sure what he's going to do next, are we? And they're at the moment at this G20 summit, aren't they, in Argentina. And quite a few things are going on there. And then there's that man. Don't hear a lot more about him at the moment, but in North Korea... He seems to not to be very stable. And it's all about these things, isn't it? Setting rockets up and war and so forth. And just this last week, we see, don't we, as a picture of a Russian boat attacking a Ukraine boat, barging into him. And this conflict there, isn't there, where they're thinking that the Ukrainian people are worried that the Russians might try and come in and start war. So these are images that we see now, aren't they? Tensions that are there. And it's in a place called the Kerch Straits. But you see, when we think of these things, we can come nearer to home as well. There's a 90-year-old lady who's been attacked and beaten. Terrible, isn't it, when you think of what people can do today. It was only in the news this week about these people on mopeds are trying to see people come along and ride and take stuff from them, and the police are trying to do something about it. So very briefly, and there are many, many more, we're living in a world that isn't full of peace, is it? And when we think about it, it brings about that, doesn't it? Fear in our lives. Yes, we know there are pockets where there are not many troubles going on. But in general, it's not looking very good. And so, we ask, is that an image of peace? Well, of course the answer is, isn't it? They are not images of peace. There are images of destruction and war. Now, what do we mean by the word peace? Well, we know that there are people, you know, peace... try to make things peaceable. And but the dictionary tells us that it means this: calm, freedom from war, disorder and strife. That's what the dictionary tells us. But this morning we've invited you to come along because we think that we need to look deeper than that to find out what real peace is for life. And I believe we need to look at this, the Bible, God's word to us. Because I think here we're going to find something very different than what we see in the world that we live today. And I want to show you some things in the Bible that gives us confidence that God's word is true and is sure. And it's this, the Bible, to us. I'd like you to first of all turn me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Where we're going to look at something I believe we're seeing of real peace. And it's a time that people are going to think about very soon, aren't they? Perhaps a lot of people for the wrong reasons. But it says there in verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, there's a modern version of that, and it says this, and it puts it in a nice way, actually. It says that it will be, I'll get it on. It's a time when there will be peace, and it says that those who are peaceable towards the Lord. And so we see in the Bible that these promises will not fail. I'd like you to turn to Isaiah chapter 11, please, because it talks there about promises are sure and true. And he promises God salvation to those that look unto the Lord and believe in his word. And in Isaiah chapter 9, it talks here about a time that is to come about in the future of this time. And in chapter 11 and verse 9, it says there, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now that's a far cry, isn't it, from that things that we're seeing in the world now. But that's what God is promising. He's saying very clearly that one day the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, just as the waters cover the sea. That's how true and sure that it is that these things are going to happen. And God makes these wonderful promises. I'd like you to go to another. Go to Isaiah chapter 45 while we're in Isaiah, and there it tells us clearly what God's promise is. And he says in verse 18, well, thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited, I am the Lord and there is none else. So he's telling us very clearly that the God of the Bible is the great creator of heaven and earth, and he's not created this earth that we live in to be wasted. For man to do what he's doing, he has not created it for that purpose. And it says clearly, doesn't it? He formed it to be inhabited, for people to live on the earth who are willing to take God at his word, to trust in him. And then he says, I am the Lord and there is none else. He's saying he's the only true and wise God. And besides him, there is nobody else. And we can trust in him. We can trust in his promises. And then he speaks really to us in verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And that's what he's asking us to do, even today, to look unto him, and he makes it clear, and be saved. There's no ifs or buts or maybe. If we look to him and what he is promising, and do what he asks us to do, then we'll be saved. We will have this great hope of life eternal in this kingdom that God has promised in the future. And he repeats it again, doesn't he? He says, "For I am God, and there is none else." Just go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." So what God is saying to you and I, he's given everything that we need to have life everlasting. We must look to him if we want to live forever. And he's saying clearly, isn't he? "Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, his only begotten Son. And then he says, "whereby," verse 4, "are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be takers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through love." So Peter is saying here that these promises that God has made, that one day this earth will be filled with his glory, there will be a time when there will be a kingdom that will stand forever, that will never be destroyed. He's saying that these promises that God has made are precious and great. And by these things that God has promised, we can be partakers of the divine nature, which means living forever and escaping that which is going to happen to us naturally. There's no doubt we're going to die, aren't we? We can't get away from that from a natural point of view. But the Bible is telling us clearly that if we trust in God, then we have hope of escaping these things that we know are going to happen to us. So great and precious promises. Now the promise that concerns us this afternoon, this morning, is the promise of peace. And God always fulfills his promises. And there will come a time when there will be everlasting peace on the earth. So, please turn to Micah, that's in the Old Testament, and chapter 4. One of the minor prophets. Micah chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hill, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the Lord shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." So that's what God is promising for the future, a time of peace. I'd like you to turn to Isaiah, because we said what the dictionary says about peace. But let's look what the Bible tells us about peace. And in chapter 32 of Isaiah, verse 17, it says there, "The work of righteousness shall be peace." Now, righteousness means to be right-minded with the things of God. And it's saying clearly, isn't it, that the work of that, if we are right with God, then you shall have peace. And then he says, "And the effect of righteousness," the effect of being right with God and do the things he asks of us, it says, "quietness and assurance forever." That's lovely, isn't it? So that's what the Bible is showing us, is real peace. It's all to do about believing in God and trusting what he is telling us for the future, that he is going to bring about a time of peace and joy. And that's wonderful, isn't it? And he tells us the consequence of wickedness, well, it's war, isn't it? And it's death. Peace, the consequence of righteousness. I'd like you to turn to Luke 21, please. Now, we know some of this can speak of AD 70, but I do honestly believe it has a dual application. And we're told here about what's going to happen. It says, verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Yes, we can look then, but we can look at it now, because that's true, isn't it? When we think of what's happening in the world, it's not very good, is it? And so he's saying this is what people will be like when he is to return. Men's hearts failing with fear. And then he says to them, doesn't he? The words of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he's looking at these things that we know are going on in the world and the terrible things that are happening, he's saying, isn't he? Verse 27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Jesus will return. There's no doubt of that. God's only begotten Son is going to return to this earth to establish that kingdom that God has promised. And then in verse 28, it tells us this. And when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And I honestly believe that. We are now living in the last days. We do not know exactly when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. But surely the things that we see happening all around us, not just wars, economically, morally, all these things are not right, are they? And it's a sure sign that the Lord Jesus Christ will soon be back in this earth. Look at verse 29. He uses here a natural picture of a tree and it beginning to blossom. It says there, doesn't it? Behold the fig tree and all the tree. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. And we know that, don't we? The springtime, the buds are coming, and then in the summer, there it is, the fruit. Now, just as sure as that happens, this is what he says, doesn't he? In verse 30, he says this, and when now ye shoot these, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. And then he says, so likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Now we think of Israel. And they were established in 1948 and they have developed since. And so all the things that God has said have come to pass, are true and sure. But what he's saying to us, just as sure as you know in the summer you can pick the fruit of the tree, we can be that certain that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to set up the kingdom of God, and it's going to happen very soon. And yes, we live in a world that's not very peaceable, but we can have peace for you and I. Anybody know where that picture is? Well, it's Alma's favourite place. It's Town House. Anybody heard of Town House? It's a nice walk round, actually. It's nice and flat. Especially when you get older, it's great, isn't it? But when we go there, it's lovely and peaceable. That's why it's there. But what it's saying through the scriptures, through the Bible, God's word to us, that we can have peace of mind, knowing that what God has promised is going to happen. Yes, all the problems won't go away now, and the problems that sometimes we have, that won't disappear now. But we can have that peace of mind knowing that whatever happens now, that the promises God has made are going to happen. And the other thing that we can think of, that it gives us hope for the future. You see, when you look at the world, a lot of apathy, isn't there? There are a lot of things going on, and people are not sure what's happening, where we're going. And yes, there's no question there's going to be peace in our time, knowing that Jesus is coming back very soon. But what does that all mean to us as individuals? You see, we've got to ask a question, haven't we? Do we really want to be part of God's purpose? Do we want to be in the kingdom of God? You see, he is offering to you and I a place in that kingdom. Remember what we said in Luke 2, verse 14. Peace on earth, goodwill to all men. You see, through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it has been made possible for you and I to have peace, to be in God's kingdom. But we've got to ask ourselves, is that what we really want? And when you look at life now, yes, we can enjoy it for a short period of time, but it soon goes, doesn't it? It goes like that, doesn't it, time? Especially when you get to my age, 49, you know. It goes very quickly. And it's gone. But what's being offered here? And God is offering us the gift of eternal life. It's a gift. It's a free gift. What we've got to do is commit our lives to him and his ways. And we can have hope and peace in our time now. But we've got to respond to God's word. It's not handed on a plate to us. We've got to respond to what he's telling us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. There it is. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It's clear and simple, isn't it? It's there for us. Yeah, we can have that hope if we respond to his word. And we can have peace through Jesus. I'd like you just to look at what something Jesus said. Please turn to John chapter 14. And it's very interesting here what he says. John 14 verse 27. He says there, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Oh no, not the things of this life, but I can give you that peace of mind. You see, there was an occasion where Jesus, with his disciples in a boat, and there was a storm, and the waves were coming, and they were frightened, they thought they were going to die. But Jesus was asleep in the boat. Why was he asleep? You see, Jesus had that peace of mind. He knew whatever happened, that God's will be done. And you know, it's a lovely story that, isn't it? Because he got up and saw them, and he brought a calmness on the sea in front of their eyes. And you see, if we've Jesus in our lives, he can do that for us. Although the storms of life are all around us, he can bring a peace of mind, knowing that God's purpose, his promises are true and sure. And he's saying there, isn't he? My peace I leave with you. And just go over chapter 2 to chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. You might be right with God. That you have peace. And then he says, in the world you'll have tribulation. We know that, don't we? But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You see, he set us an example. Is what we'd say today. He's been there, got the t-shirt, hasn't he? He's done it. He knows what it's all about. He's suffered. And he suffered for our sake, so that we might have hope of a future. And he's going to be, very soon, king of the world. And peace is promised to believers. It's a gift, a free gift of God. It's a promise of an entrance abundantly and consistently of everlasting kingdom. And in Romans chapter 14, it tells us there clearly what God's kingdom is all about. Romans 14 and verse 17, it says there, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. No, it's not the things of this life, not the natural thing. But righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what peace of God is. Lovely, isn't it? To be right-minded with the things of God. To have this great peace and joy. We're coming to a time, aren't we, when people in the world, and ourselves sometimes, give gifts. We give gifts because we care for them or we love them. But there is a more excellent gift that we can receive. It's a gift from God. Because he tells us that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what he's asking us to do is to read God's word and to read it for ourselves, to believe it, and then we've got to think about acting upon its message of hope. See, it's no good just reading the Bible and leaving it at that. If we really think that this is true and sure, we've got to act upon its message. Do something about it. We've got to know it, to understand it, to get a grasp of what it's all about, and then do it. Do something about it. See, there are a few images that people will see of peace, aren't they? Of calmness, peace and tranquility. But what God is saying to us through the Lord Jesus Christ is that he is going to bring about peace. It says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Isn't that lovely? Peace in our time? Yes. So, in Philippians and in Colossians, we're told of this time. And if you just look at one of those, if you look at Colossians chapter 3. And verse 15, it says there, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, and singing with grace into your hearts to the Lord. He's saying to us all, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's what he's saying to us, isn't it? Peace in our time. At this time, and a lot of people are going to remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us not forget that through him we have hope of everlasting life. That's what we're to look at. But when we look at the reality of this world, we see those people there. And it's not good news, is it? World events clearly show to us Christ will return soon. And here's something else. We know that there's going to come a time when there will be peace. There will be peace in our time. And that is true and sure that what God has promised to all who will trust in him. And you know, it's certain. It is true and sure. It's going to happen. Now there's a good subject, isn't there? Can anybody tell me what they're talking about? Because I haven't a clue. God dear me. You know, they're like politicians are good, aren't they? They can talk a lot but tell you nothing. And, you know, what a mess, isn't it? What a mess our own country's in, never mind in the world. So God is offering towards everlasting life. And there is a new day that is going to dawn very soon. And you and I can be part of what God is offering. To share in everlasting peace. Now, the question is, isn't it? You see, in the new version, it says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, among those whom he is pleased. Isn't that nice? To please God. And we can do that by trusting in him. And he tells us, he wants us to be there. It's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, Jesus said. So peace on earth? Yes. But the question is, didn't it? Do you want to be there? You see, the choice is yours. Thank you.